The Citadel Cafe is proudly sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. That's TweakedAudio.com.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 115 for Wednesday, September 3rd, 2014. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I gather to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. And on this episode, just about everything that we've seen all summer that we think you guys should check out. Joining me tonight is Mr. Mike O'Day, a returning TCC veteran after a few jaunts at the helm. Welcome, sir.
Oh, glad to be here. I wouldn't really call myself a veteran, though.
Well, you know what? After twice, I consider people old hat, as it were. You are officially on the short list of people that I would invite back on the show.
Well, I'm glad to be on it.
Good. Happy to have you. Just quickly, man. Like, what have you been up to all summer? Like, we've had a couple chances to hang out because we're both local here in Halifax. But what else is new?
Not a whole lot. A lot of work and a bit of I don't know, trying to get camping or to the beach or anytime I actually can. Mm. A lot of some driving trips, got to go down to the valley and do some of the vineyards and stuff for other listeners in Nova Scotia, down in Annapolis Royal. There's about 8 wineries down there. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And that was about it. Nothing really crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the last time that we did a show, and I'm pretty sure it was in June. So since then, I've been to Nerdtacular and back. So we went down to Utah. Yeah, that was fun. Obviously, a great time to hang out with all the other podcasting friends that I have, and the giant nerd, congregation that is Nerdtacular. It's funny, the story that I keep on telling over and over again is it was a big Hearthstone year because of it's on the iPad and everybody's into it. It's a big Warcraft kind of fan base. And the memory that I pull away from the event in terms of the group play was concerned, mm-hmm. was an evening where I was playing this match against someone I didn't know, kind of a fireside gathering thing. I want to say that they were a mage and I was playing my control warrior. And I almost won the match, came down to the wire, and then they fireballed me to win.
That's usually what mage does.
yeah, exactly. So, and I was like, well, that was pretty good. I don't mind losing. That was, it was an all right match. A few minutes later, this guy comes up to me, and he looks to be about, 28, 30. And he's like, hey, are you Joel Duggan? I was like, yeah, I am. And, and I was like, are you, this person? I don't remember the handle. It was, Fire Mage 27, or it wasn't something that unimaginable, but it was a funny name that I can't remember right now. And he's like, no, that's my stepdaughter. So, this kid is maybe 13, judging by how old this guy is. He said, I just wanted to come over and say thanks, for playing her. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm thinking in my head, I didn't realize who I was playing, but sure, no problem to me, at all. Yeah. And he said, you just made her night because she was aware that I was a Frog Pants producer. She's a fan of the network, but then she also beat me. And it was her first time playing a public person. It wasn't she was old hat at this. She just went through the tutorial at Nerdtacular and then decided to go try it out. And she beat me the first time out. So I'm not sure whether that speaks to her skills or my lack of skills at Hearthstone. But it was one of those memorable moments from
Nerdtacular. Just mages in general.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that. Yeah, there's that. My warrior is tough, though. I like my control warrior.
Control warrior can be very... It can outlast most anything.
I wear people down. That's the thing.
Yeah, the
problem.
What they do best.
Yeah, the problem with losing with Control Warrior is that it takes a long time to die. If you're gonna lose, you're gonna be losing 30 minutes of your life as well.
Absolutely.
That's the issue.
I forgot. That was one thing we did do. We both went to a Hearthstone tournament here in Halifax.
Oh, that's right too. That was a qualifier for the championships too.
Yeah, and then the funniest thing is so you were there and then two friends of mine from work, and both one of my friends anyway, him and I have been obsessed with Hearthstone since like last October when we got in the beta.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you met John, who was there. He started playing a month and a half ago, and he got to the semifinals, and we got knocked out in the first round.
Yeah.
So we were all just like, oh my God, John's winning. This is awesome.
Yeah.
That was a good summer, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny how it was also hot as blazes back in the back of that bar.
Yes, it was just, ugh.
The AC was not getting to that corner whatsoever.
Not at all.
A bunch of sweaty nerds on really uncomfortable leather couches. It was not.
Too many throat beards. That's all it was.
Yeah, they generate their own heat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I something I still like about Hearthstone is just how married to chance it is. Like, you can have some serious skills, but there's some times where you just get destroyed and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the great things and why some of the tournaments nowadays are doing like best of five, best of seven or more, because of like, no matter how good someone is, they're still going to lose eventually.
Yeah.
To some ridiculous top deck or,
yeah,
I don't know.
Miracle Rogue, cough, cough.
You can beat them. Love them.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Cough, cough.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always something. Yeah, there's always something.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
But I guess this isn't a Hearthstone show, so I'll
stop. No, yeah, it's funny.
It's
like,
hard for me not to gush over Hearthstone.
Well, hard for both of us. And it's funny, you know, like, I actually haven't had time to play in, I want to say, at least a month.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, I, one of the reasons I took the summer off from the Citadel Cafe, Not that, you know, it's a huge commitment just for an hour on Wednesday nights, but it's just, you know, it's the social media and the blog posting and the editing. Not that I edit the show that heavily, but like, there's a lot involved. It ends up being about a 2.5-3 hour affair, kind of out of my free time in the evenings to do the show. And I enjoy doing the show. I'm happy to be back. But other things needed some attention. Namely, I'm now fully responsible for the line production on Comics Coast to Coast. So I'm scheduling guests, booking, I'm finding new guests. I get some suggestions from the guys from time to time, but most of the time it's me, you know, going out and seeking new artists and new editors and hopefully some writers in the future. For the show. I'm trying. We've got an editor coming on. I mean, she's also an artist as well, but she's putting together an anthology and we're going to have her come on. I think it's on September 11th.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Heather is her name.
Cool.
I want to say Antos, but I'm probably mispronouncing her last name.
That's a sick last name, though, to be honest.
Yeah, no, totally. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to butcher it or get it wrong. But tune into Comics Coast to Coast next week, and you'll find out. But yeah, so that was one thing that I'm happily now ahead on a few weeks. I mean, like, we've got, you know, right into almost the end of September, I've got guests booked, which means that I can now start booking for October, which it's less of a stressful thing when you can work that far ahead. I'm hoping to do the same thing with the Citadel Cafe, because both Peyton and Chad are obviously still busy with their own stuff. Peyton's son, Ewan, is now in school, or pre-kindergarten, I guess. He's 4.
So starting school?
Yeah, so they're busy.
Primary?
Yeah, no, he's doing pre-primary. Primary will be next year.
Primary. That must be a new thing.
Yeah. Well, he's a smart kid, and they really felt that he's outgrown daycare.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So they want to put him in a program where he's getting more out of it than just a glorified babysitter. Like, there is actually some learning and some group activities and stuff that goes on. And most importantly, no nap at school, because he's just all boy all the time, and they get him home, and they just, if he gets a nap in the day, they've got to run him ragged until 8 o'clock at night just to get him to go to bed. So
it's great for the teachers, not so much for Peyton.
No, exactly. So the new program there. So I mean, they've got a whole new family schedule. So I'm sure Peyton will come on from time to time, but he's pretty busy. As is Chad. Actually, that's something else I did this summer. Chad and Julie were in town.
Oh, good.
So I got to hang out with Chad and Julie and Lena, who is was at the time a year and a half. And she is cute. Man, oh, man. And she knows how to push her dad's buttons too. It's pretty funny. She knows when she's not doing something that she's allowed, or she knows when she's doing something she's not allowed to do, and she will do it and look at you and wait to see if you're going to say no or if she's going to be off scot-free. But it's what's funny, because obviously by moving slowly and looking at one of the adults, she's kind of giving herself away at the same time. But yeah, it was a really nice visit with them too. Cause I mean, they're in, Ontario now, so I don't get to see Chad very often. He's only home for Christmas like every other year. And Julie's parents are in Ottawa or just outside. So it's a lot easier for them to visit them, obviously. So that was a fun thing this summer. But with both Chad and Peyton continuing to be busy parents, I'm looking forward to trying to schedule some people down the line for the Citadel Cafe as well. To kind of alleviate that, because it's allowed me to spend some extra time on my comic, which was sorely in need of some updating and some retooling. So Starcrossed is still going pretty much weekly. I've had some heavy client work lately that's been interrupting, but I wrote 3 strips this afternoon, so back on track to just kind of executing for the next little while, which is going to be good. Yeah, well, it's nice that I've got a few people now supporting me on Patreon, and it's a nice. Not that I really lack the motivation, but it's nice to have to be held responsible, you know, by a set group of fans, including yourself. Thank you very much. To just kind of like light that, you know, fire under your butt to say like, all right, you know, I'm going to make sure this gets done, you know, once a week. I've got to fit it into my schedule, and having Wednesday nights off and not having to worry about all the other things that go with the Citadel Cafe just kind of allowed me to kind of get a head run on that. Get some steam going, and now I feel like I've got that in my corner as well. So I'm looking forward to the fall and kind of moving on through a bunch of stuff with the comic and with Comics Coast to Coast and now with the Citadel Cafe. Now that we're back, so I guess that's all the housekeeping I really have. Let's just, you know, guests first, my friend. What have you been watching this summer?
I guess I would call it an eclectic, different things.
Okay.
So I know we saw a few of the same things this summer, including Guardians of the Galaxy, which I think we'll get to in a minute.
Hell yeah.
But I also been watching a lot of Nashville, which I love to death.
This is the show that on Netflix that you told me about.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's not nerdy in any way. I just also love music, and it's actually found a way to turn me into a country hater into a country music lover, maybe.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Well, normally I don't like country. Country's silly, blah, blah, blah. Just keeping with the good old, like, 70s rock or some blues or something. But this has just turned me over. I'm loving it. It's some of the drama-y stuff, whatever, but the music is all original, and it's all written by actual writers in Nashville. And it's fantastic.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
I believe the first thing I said when you told me about the show was that I have a crush on Connie Britton.
As do I. Mm. As should everyone.
But yeah, I think most of our red-blooded male listeners probably do.
Most likely, yeah. They've either seen her in that or in Friday Night Lights or maybe like Spin City or
Spin
something.
Spin City was the first time I ever knew of her as an actor. But yeah, Friday Night Lights was my...
actually, I'm watching that too.
My Netflix kind of binge, not this summer, but you know, a while ago.
I'm still getting through it.
Yeah, I can't remember how many lulls there were, but they did a good job for a show that ran for so long. They did a good job of not getting too tired with it, and I feel like if I remember correctly, they wrapped it up very cool. You know,
did they?
Yeah, not the way that you think they would, which is nice.
So not in like a happy-go-lucky.
I don't want to say that. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to give it away. But it's on par with the quality of what I felt was there in like the first couple of seasons.
Okay.
You know, and with every season, every series that goes on for a while. How many seasons are there? Like
5 or 6.
Yeah, 5 or 6. So I mean, you know, they hit that. You know, they get 3 in there, and then you're like, okay, now here's the real test: is 4 going to be as good? And ultimately, it was okay, but I feel like 5 and 6 then picked back up again. Like I remember I had caught up to 5 when 5 was on air, and I could not wait to get a hold of the next, like whether it was iTunes or whoever I was watching it at the time. Cause it was like live on TV, friend's house, whatever. Like I could not wait to see the next episode. So season 5, I remember, was very good.
I'm excited for getting to that then. I also watched all of I went through the task of rewatching Lord of the Rings, the extended editions.
Oh, wow.
That was a task.
That's a good geeky thing to do in the summer.
Yeah. So my wife and I and her sister did that. When we started Fellowship, even though I knew it was long, we shouldn't have started as late as we did. It was like 9 p.m. We were let's do it. And then it was like 1:30 in the morning when it finished. We were okay, this needs to end.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah. The extended editions are chopped up really nicely if that you watch one disc at a time.
Yes.
So six for sure. sessions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we managed to go through the entire of the first movie anyway, like the 4 hours or whatever. But for Two Towers, we did one disc and we're like, all right, tomorrow night or something. Because it can be a bit draining. But that was really fun. I haven't watched most of them in a while, so it was really good to relive it.
Yeah. Do you find they stand up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it was because I was a lot younger when they came out. So the big, like the battles that were, the Two Towers, the Helm's Deep battles, 45, 50 minutes long or something?
Yeah, something like that.
When I was younger, I was like, this is the best. This is so good. And this time I was kind of like, all right, yeah, this is good. After about 25 minutes, I was like, let's go on to show me something else.
Mm.
But, yeah, I found it held up. And the special effects really did hold up. Although one thing I didn't, like, have you watched this recently?
I've watched it. I've certainly watched The Fellowship recently. I don't believe I continued on to watch the others. We had all the intentions, but it was one of those things where it was just so long to sit in front of the TV. And then you've got other things like that are piling up on Netflix that you hear are good and that you've not seen. And you're just like, well, I can watch a movie that I know I'm like going to like, and you just kind of wait for those for it to be like, you know, the sick days or things that you don't want to have to think too much.
For sure. I noticed like the Gollum, like, the CG for that, that didn't hold up as well as I thought, as I remembered it anyway. I remember it being like fabulous, like fantastic. Maybe it's because it's, I don't know, it was the 1080p, it was the Blu-ray, so it was, maybe that was like showing some of it, but.
Yeah, this is the issue that I have with rewatching them is because I have them on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And they're good, but they, do I have them? I think I have them on Blu-ray. That's awful. I don't remember. I have no idea. I should have these on Blu-ray. I must.
Yes. The extended ones you probably do.
I do. You know why? Because I'm pretty sure I contemplated giving my DVDs to my parents at some point.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm sure I have them. And the issue is that I've got this old combo of an older DVD or older Blu-ray player, which I have never been able to update the firmware on, despite trying every which way. And same with the TV, and on some discs, it doesn't happen with all of them, but there's a well-known issue with Batman Dark Knight, and I also receive a lot of same issues with Lord of the Rings. Things get watery, they get like smooshy on the screen, and it's incredibly distracting. You know, like you're watching something that looks really cool, like it's a dwarf fighting. All of a sudden, it looks like he's got his face pressed up against glass, and
the pixels
kind of slide around. Yeah, it's really unappealing. As a kind of a video snob that I am, I've talked about it on the show before. It's that animator's eye that I can't turn off.
Okay.
And when things go like, it's okay if things are okay, but if things go wrong, I notice immediately. Drives me nuts.
I think you should. I'd be interested in what you think if you rewatch like a 1080p version, just like the Gollum scenes.
I remember. I mean, after we get it sorted, it tends to be okay. The things that stand out to me in the Lord of the Rings as dated are the green screen shots, like Merry and Pippin riding on top of Treebeard.
Oh, yes.
Like, you're just like, wow, that really doesn't look anything at all like they're there. You know?
Speaking of Merry and Pippin, because I just thought of it. You saw the trailer for the newest Hobbit film, right?
I did, but it was a long time ago, and it was really quick.
Oh, no, like the newest trailer, the one with, I think it has Pippin singing?
Maybe.
Oh, I just you mentioned them, and made me think of it. You have to watch that if you haven't. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I've seen one trailer for the new one. Has there been more than one trailer? Because if there's been more than one, I've probably missed it.
I think there's been more than one. The one I saw was during it was around like Comic-Con.
Okay.
And they took the song, like the clip of when Pippin was singing in Return of the King.
Right, at Gondor.
Yeah, and they played that over what was happening in the trailer, and it was epic.
Oh, cool. I've seen one where I think Smaug burns Rivertown.
Yeah, that's in one of them. Yeah. I think that's in both, but...
Yeah. Is it Rivertown? Is that the name of the place?
I think so. You're about to take away my nerd card. I don't know that.
I know a lot more about Lord of the Rings than I do The Hobbit now, because it's been a lot longer since I've read The Hobbit.
Yeah, I probably read The Hobbit like 15 years ago.
Yeah. Did you like that last movie, the second Hobbit?
I liked it way more than the first one.
Yeah. I mean, Smaug kind of steals the show.
Yeah.
But
Have you seen, there's videos of Benedict Cumberbatch doing the voiceovers, and he is getting right into it.
Oh, cool. Oh, you can tell.
He earned his paycheck.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He's
like, at one point, he's like face into the mic, and he's like holding his arms up, and he's like snarling, and it's just, it's
fantastic. That would be really cool to see. The distinct difference, and kind of like, and I don't know exactly how to credit this, because like I didn't have access to Netflix. I didn't have, you know, a lot of the things that we have access to now. Mm-hmm. But when The Lord of the Rings came out in theaters in 2001,
it's a little while ago,
then they eventually started coming out on DVD. And I was buying, as they came out, those 4-disc special edition extended, you know, with the behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff. I could not wait to get those on DVD. Like, I mean, I... was as soon as they were available, they were either on my Christmas list if it was really near Christmas, or I would just go out and buy it.
Yep, same way.
I have not seen either of the Hobbits since the one time that I saw them in theater.
Me either.
You know, and I thought about, hey, cool, it's on Blu-ray. Don't really want to spend the money on it. Like, for whatever reason, they're not nearly as rewatchable for me. And I don't know why. And this is the thing. I enjoyed them when I was in the theater. I don't know why it's not a repeat event for me.
I found the first one a bit long in the tooth, to be honest.
They all are, even though I love The Lord of the Rings.
They are, but you're still enjoying them. But I just remember when I went to see The Hobbit, like the first one, and I'm sitting in the theater and there's that scene with like Frodo bringing Bilbo tea. And I'm like, is this needed?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do need this, really?
Yeah. The second one did have a better pace to it.
Yes, because it just starts.
Yeah. Right?
And it also has Smaug, but
yeah,
it's very, I find it's much better pace.
Yeah. I call him Smaug. I called him Smaug, didn't I? I know it's Smaug.
Eh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's the nerd correction, and then there's the Smaug is a dumb freaking name. You know, like.
Just call it whatever you want.
Yeah. You know, there's the two. The two names just always fight in my head. It's like the first time that I read Lord of the Rings. I mean, what was Tolkien thinking? Sauron and Saruman? Like, come on, man.
Oh.
You know?
I remember when I was younger reading, and I was like, they're related.
Yeah.
He's going to find out at the end of the book.
Yeah.
But, that was just an 8-year-old dreaming up weird things. But...
For me, it was I would get them confused.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, for the first time I read through it, I was like, wait, who now? And I had to go reread a couple of chapters, you know, back. It was like, oh, they're actually different people. All right. Like, oh, it was so frustrating. You know, like, bad enough that they start with the same letter, let alone they sound so similar.
Yeah, they're pretty freaking close.
Yeah, anyway, my long, you know, secret beef with Tolkien. The one that I have. No, I'm sure there's more. I generally like, I mean, the stuff that that Tolkien wrote and the movies that Peter Jackson made for The Lord of the Rings just outshine so much of the garbage that's out there these days. You know, Transformers 4, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, you know. I'm going off of hearsay.
And
you just like,
pick a list of Michael Bay movies. You
know, well, like
Transformers 4 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There's other ones. Like, well, for example,
movie he's done except The Rock.
Yeah, pretty much. I've got some dishonorable mentions from my summer. The Lorax, terrible movie.
Was it?
Don't watch it. No. Go read the original Dr. Seuss book and save yourself the time.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's one of those movies, surprisingly, because the other Dr. Seuss things, I liked them, but it really speaks down to the viewer regarding the plot and the overall message. Like, it's super repetitive. It's like, really? So what I'm trying to get out of this is that if we cut down all the trees, that's bad. This is like minute 15 of the movie. You know, and you've got, you know, another three acts of the same thing. And the songs... horrible. Like, you will feel your soul leave your body. So just skip The Lorax. Go watch, like, Horton Hears a Who or something else. But it just, it's not yeah, worth the time.
I'll stay away.
Yeah. So Lord of the Rings, better than The Lorax. Who thought, you know?
I never would have guessed.
It was news to me. Since we're on the whole Negative Nancy stuff, surprisingly and disappointingly, Hemlock Grove, not great. Good? Not great. Really? No.
Oh, no.
Season two is uninspired, disjointed, and just blah.
So like, don't bother. I was going to actually start watching that this week.
I mean, form your own opinion, but I mean, I've been watching it all summer.
Yeah.
And I still haven't finished it. We've got one episode left.
Oh, wow.
Just not interested. You know, I don't care. Now, part of it is that a lot of the time when I have time to sit down and watch an hour-long show, it's usually dinner. So we skip Hemlock Grove at dinner because it's gross. Like, you don't want to be chewing on pizza and watching live pizza roll around on screen. This particular season, too, has got some, it's pretty graphic in places.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that kind of stuff has also kind of turned me off from it. But yeah, it's not nearly as insightful and as cool as
the other Netflix original shows, I guess.
Well, as season one. Like, okay. I feel like they've pulled back the curtain and you're just kind of like, meh, not really as cool as I thought it was going to be. You know, a lot of the characters, have you ever seen Once Upon a Time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Can't wait for that to come back.
Yeah. So, you know, the queen?
Yep.
The evil queen in Once Upon a Time?
Regina, yeah.
Yeah. So, at first she's, you know, evil queen. But by the end of the first season, you're like, shoot me in the face now. If she says, don't take my son away from me one more time. Like, she's just so one-dimensional.
And she gets better.
Oh, she does. She does. But I'm saying, like, the characters in season two of Hemlock Grove are like that the whole time. Everybody is a one-trick pony.
That would drive me nuts.
Yeah, and I feel like they did a couple of tropes where they did some shocking stuff just because they're Netflix and they're shocking, so why not? There was no real...
HBO does that sometimes, too.
Yeah, but they... Yeah.
I find HBO is kind of like... So, how long is it? Okay, it's been 15 minutes. Show them some boobs.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's some stuff in Game of Thrones, which is like my favorite show on television, that has got some gratuitous points in it that didn't really need to be there.
What, our penis?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't need to see that. But then, I don't know, I feel like there's something about that era of like kind of medieval kind of setting where nudity is just, it's a little bit more accepted. Like, it's like, well, everybody's poor. There's whorehouses everywhere. Like, there's a different kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Whereas the stuff in Hemlock Grove, I feel like they're just kind of force feeding you really weird stuff just because it's kind of a weird show. You know, like, it would be fine if it was tied to some really important story plot, but it's not. It's just, it's thrown in there like a monkey wrench. And you're just kind of like, okay, so that happened. Weird. Like, yeah, it wasn't my favorite thing. But did you have anything over the summer that you watched that you didn't like that you just don't recommend?
I didn't like. Not that I can think of off the top of my head. Usually I just forget those and never think about them again. Nothing off the top of my head, no.
No, those are my two dishonorable mentions. My two dishonorable mentions, yeah.
Oh, one thing I will mention, I started watching The Outlander. It's a really good show.
The Outlander.
Yeah, it's based off like an old, it's a book that like middle-aged women read or something, probably. Okay. My mother read it and a bunch of people, but it's on Stars and Showcase, I think, but it's a very cool concept and they're doing a good job of making it more, asexual. They're just like, it's good for either gender will probably enjoy it because there's enough action or enough, you know, romance for either.
Oh, cool. I like a good romance show, you know?
Yeah, it's really good. You should check it out. It's about this, it's set in the 40s, like just World War II just ends.
Okay.
And then the main character, the woman, she ends up, she moves to Scotland with her fiance for like a second honeymoon. And then she gets teleported, like transported back to like 16th century Scotland.
Hmm.
And then has to deal with it. But it's smart because she gets transported back, but she's not like, oh my God, where's my telephone and the this or that. Like, there's none of those like time travel tropes in it.
Oh, cool.
She just ends up being a badass the whole time. It's good.
Huh. Yeah, that does sound good. I was trying to think about there's a movie called Outlander.
Not related.
No, okay. Because that's like a sci-fi, you know, aliens attack like a Norwegian landscape or something like that.
Definitely not related.
Yeah. It was filmed here in Halifax, actually. Or parts of it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Caviezel and Ron Perlman.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was interesting. Before we get too long in the tooth on all these great stuff that we're watching, we should really touch on Guardians of the Galaxy, because we would be remiss if we didn't at least talk about it. And it's still in theaters. My sister just saw it like the other day. So, let's go spoiler free if you can.
I'll do my best. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do spoiler free. I will say that on every podcast I've listened to recently, they're always just like, so let's go on to the elephant in the room. Galaxy.
Yeah.
That thing that everyone's talked about this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. I think a lot of people would have the same kind of opinion. You know, it was entertaining on all fronts. It's really good sci-fi. Fun characters.
Amazing soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I've had that on my phone for a couple weeks. The soundtrack was really, really cool. And what was really interesting about it was the juxtaposition of the 70s, 80s soundtrack on the very futuristic sci-fi stuff. Like the sci-fi wasn't dirty. Like, I mean, when they're flying a spaceship, it was like crisp and clean and looked like a hot rod. Like it was yellow and red and had blue lights on it. Like it was all, you know, everything was very kind of shiny, you know, as far as the sci-fi was concerned, for the most part. Combined with like some gritty kind of 70s rock or like a pop song or something like that from back then. It was very, very cool. What surprised me about the film, again, not giving too much away, is like the 15 minutes of just heart-wrenching, like, drama that grounds the whole thing at the beginning.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was awesome. Like, immediately you have some serious empathy and feelings for, you know, at least one of the characters that's going to be involved.
Yeah.
You know, in the film. And, I knew nothing of Guardians Galaxy going in, outside of the fact that I knew that Scotty Young was drawing Rocket Raccoon, and that he had done some fan art previously, like covers and stuff like that.
Yeah, all I knew was just, I knew the names. That was it.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's one of those comic series that, I mean, like, you hear about in a side conversation you've never read, so like, well, whatever. Like, I mean, they're on issue, you know, I don't know what it is, you know, deep into it, and I was like, I can't relate, so I kind of tune out.
Yeah, and like, even when they were announced this movie, it was forever just like, that's the black sheep of the Marvel movies coming out.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I thought it was, the storyline was really good. I mean, it tied in with the Avengers and what Marvel seems to be working towards as they populate, you know, their universe in Hollywood. Everything seems to be tying together nicely. They don't necessarily all have like super, super common threads, but there's just enough to say like, oh, okay, I recognize that guy from the other movie. You know, like, I'm waiting to see if there happens to be like a quick Star-Lord cameo in like Avengers 2 or something.
I hope so, but I think if not, it at the very least it'll be in the third one.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure that's the one that's going to have Thanos and things in it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like they're building up to a much larger stage, I guess.
Yeah,
as it were.
That's when we'll get into like the cosmic stuff.
Yeah, because the new Avengers one is Age of Ultron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, we've already had aliens attacking, but it's been like aliens, you know, attacking New York. It really didn't go kind of global.
No,
you know, and I feel like the next movie will probably take it a little bit more on a global scale, and then we'll get into like, you know, possibly having the Avengers actually go into space, which
that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I wasn't overly impressed actually with Gamora.
No,
I just, like, there are some things about the outer space and the aliens that you just kind of like, you know, sure, you know, suspension of disbelief. It's a talking raccoon and a walking tree. For whatever reason, I was on board. It did not bug me at all. But Gamora kind of fell flat for me. Now, on the flip, her sister, the character in the movie, Nebula, I thought was great.
Yeah, I was going to be biased. I knew I was going to love her anyway, just because of the actress.
Karen Gillan, yeah.
Because she was in Doctor Who, so I knew right away. Although you would not really be able to tell with the getup they had her on.
No, but I would argue that she was still really hot in that getup, though.
Yes, as a blue-white bald
thing. Cyborg assassin, yeah. Intergalactic villain sort of, it can be, you know, that kind of hot.
Just let her assassinate whatever she wants.
Well, I mean, it'd be kind of hard to stop her. I mean, some of the action scenes in this movie were out of this world.
Yeah, they were fantastic. They were really well done.
Really, really cool stuff. I love that we're getting to the point. I mean, granted, you know, Marvel's got a huge money train behind them with Disney, and their own, you know, their own, you know, money.
They got
as well.
The cred now, like the street cred, with having to go with this. Yeah. So far, they have not flopped a single movie.
No, I mean, the story comes first. Like, I'm not saying it is a special effects blur. It's not like the whole movie comes to a grinding halt to say, hey, look at this 3D shot, you know?
Yeah.
But I really enjoy that we're getting to a point now where special effects are so seamless that 5 minutes into a movie where there's a talking fucking raccoon, you don't care. Like, you just, you empathize with him. Yeah. You're looking at him. He's got feelings. Like, he's got a backstory, and he's funny. He's charismatic. Like, you mean, obviously, some tip of the hat to Bradley Cooper that did the voices, or the voice for him. But still, like, I mean, there's still an animator actor in there too that has to bring all that to life. And I mean, like, the animation nerd in me was geeking out for like the first 45 seconds, maybe 90 seconds, and after that, completely forgot. Like, just was just right in the movie with everybody else. It was so good. And it makes me really excited for things like the new Star Wars film, any other original sci-fi that's coming out. Like, I mean, if they can do this with Guardians of the Galaxy, which is arguably a pretty cult, you know, kind of comic book classic, I guess, I can't wait to see what they do with like the largest film franchise in the world. You know, it's going to be pretty cool.
It has a lot of it has a lot to live up to, though.
Hmm. Well, yes.
To be fair.
Well, and a lot to... Well, there's a lot to live up to, and then there's Jar Jar.
Well, and there's a lot to prove.
Yeah.
As well. It has a lot to live up to and a lot to prove to everyone, the doubters.
I liked what T.J. Abrams did with Star Trek.
I did, too. It needed a little bit more lens flare for me, but I liked it a lot.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. No lens flare in Mike O'Day's Star Wars.
Please, no.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless it's a lens flare from the lightsaber.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Star Wars, that's something that I've also been watching on Netflix and really enjoying. I took a break over the summer. I got stuck on a few droid-heavy episodes that are terrible.
I've heard that.
Oh, and it's so funny because it's right in the thick of what is probably like the best Star Wars that you've seen in a long time is like season 5. And you get all these like... Ahsoka's grown up a little bit, like there's real peril. Anakin gets angry, like he starts force choking people, but not really.
Oh, yeah?
Like, oh, it gets dark, man. Like,
is that the season with Darth Maul as well?
Yes, yeah, Darth Maul is in it. I mean, okay, spoilers, Darth Maul's in it.
That was everywhere on the internet.
Yeah, the posters are everywhere. The season is like 2 years old, so I mean, it's not crazy spoilers, but I won't say how anything ends.
I didn't even watch the show, and I couldn't escape the fact that Darth Maul was coming on.
Oh, man. There is a series of episodes that involve taking over Mandalore, which is the Mandalorian home planet. And there are some seriously, seriously badass moments in that that arc of like 3 episodes. And that's the other thing the series has started to do really, really, really well, is that you can't just watch one. Like, there are a series of small, like, 60-minute, 90-minute movies that they've broken up into 22-minute episodes. They're just, the plots are just so good. You don't have to deal with the boring stuff because then they cut in and out with the episode change and they have the announcer come back and say, like, previously on, you know, Clone Wars or whatever, you know, Anakin was this and Ahsoka was that and now we join them. And you're just like, sweet, like, I don't have to watch all the boring talking head stuff. It just gets right back into the action.
Nice.
And
I started the first season, I just can't.
Oh, dude, it gets so much better. You have, unfortunately, you've got probably like a season and a half. And then it starts to get better. And throw it on when you're doing the dishes or something and just catch up. You'll know because you'll get to the point in season 3 where you won't be able to just do something else. You'll have to sit down and watch the whole thing. I don't remember when, but it does take a while to get going. Season 3 and 4 are... 4 was good, 3 was really good. 5 was just amazing, with the exception of these droid episodes, and seriously, skip them. Don't watch them.
Just don't even bother.
Read the synopsis online. Nothing important happens. We watched 2, got halfway through another one, skipped it, and then skipped the next one, and just went right on, and were not lost at all. Like they don't even matter. They don't even matter. They were obviously floundering for whatever reason. And it could be for a very good reason. One of the actors, Ian Abercrombie, that does the voice of Chancellor Palpatine in the series, he passed away during the making of season 5. So I feel like there might have been some episodes that they had to kind of throw out there in production without him until they found a replacement.
Probably,
which is sad, but it doesn't make the droid episodes suck any less, unfortunately.
I suppose not.
You know, but there's so much lightsaber stuff going on. Like things are starting to look like Star Wars, not prequel stuff. Like as the Empire is growing, or not the Empire, as the Republic is growing more powerful, the tech is shifting. So like even something as simple as the clone trooper helmets in season 5 are starting to shift to look more like stormtrooper helmets.
Oh, sweet.
All this stuff, just like it's all very Ralph McQuarrie sort of, you know, esque. And it's really, really fun. And I can't wait to finish off. There's one more season left. It's shorter than the others, and it's Netflix exclusive. And
this is the one that it's like, it's not even, it's shorter, and it's also like bits and pieces, and it doesn't even conclude or something, I heard?
I don't know. I don't know. I've been really trying to stay away from spoilers because...
Okay, well, I don't have any to give, so don't worry.
But Garrett, who does... The Angry Chicken and A-Move Radio. And A-Move Radio, they get talking about Star Wars all the time because Kyle and Ben do Star Wars RPG, like tabletop stuff.
Oh.
And whenever they get into Star Wars or Clone Wars, I have to skip it because I don't want any spoilers. Because they just say, hey, we're going to go full on spoilers. And I have to go, stop. And then fast forward like 10 minutes. Are they done yet? Because I've been enjoying the show so much that I just don't want to have anything spoiled for me. And the other sci-fi show that I've been checking out is also a cartoon, and that is Green Lantern, the animated series, produced by Bruce Timm, same guy that did Batman, the animated series, and
like
Superman.
The 90s one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's not hand-drawn, which is disappointing.
Is really a lot, is anything really like cartoons-wise nowadays, though?
Nah, there's Young Justice is still hand-drawn. There's a new Spider-Man coming out. Where it's not Peter Parker, I can't remember the character's name. He's Hispanic. The new Spider-Man is Hispanic, and unfortunately, I can't remember his name. But that's going to be hand drawn. DC still does hand drawn classical animation stuff. I say hand drawn; it's still computer, but it's done in a classical way. They still do like direct to DVD specials.
So it was they just released the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, so they
is
did
that hand-drawn?
Yeah, those are both hand-drawn. And those are both pretty good. Stylized, like, I mean, it's a different look, but I mean, like, you're dealing with Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns.
I assume they followed that. I read that when a long time ago, but I've been meaning to watch that. It's on Netflix now.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are really, really good. Molly in the chat room says that she really likes the Green Lanterns. Series.
I'm gonna have to watch it. I haven't.
Yeah,
watched it.
I finished.
The movie ruined a Green Lantern for me.
This is better. It's a cartoon, so there's still, it's a little slow at first. They kind of hammer a few things home, and Molly, if you haven't finished the series, definitely see it through. It's really, really good, and it quickly, over the course of 26 episodes, you only have to deal with a half dozen kind of like episodic stuff. It quickly gets to the point where there's Red Lanterns, they're the bad guys, they're going to take over the universe, and then you spend the rest of the season trying to figure out how, and how to stop them and stuff like that. And that there's a good series, there's a good arc with that, and then there's another arc that deals with really larger questions, which I thought was really cool for a kid's cartoon. There's an AI character, I actually just did some fan art for her the other day, her name's Aya. She's the AI character in the series. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, her becoming self-aware, whether or not she has feelings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then there's also like the larger scope of emotion in general, and not just human emotion, but just emotion in the universe. And, you know, how Green Lanterns are powered by will. Like that's the force that the Guardians have corralled in order to give the Green Lanterns their power. Well, there's other forces out there, like hatred for Red Lanterns. I think yellow is fear. Then there's a couple of other colors I won't get into because they're a little spoilery. But they're very, very cool. And some of them negate Green Lantern, and some of them like boost power to the Green Lantern. And there's new characters that are involved and all kinds of stuff. You get into like the history of the Guardians, and it becomes a very interesting take on things, including these bigger questions. And there's some, the animation is good. There's some moments where it's great. But it's got the limits of a very simple looking CG show, because it's hard to do a very complex CG show on budget. Like, I mean, I get why they have to keep it fairly simplified. But yeah, I just, it's a lot of fun. There's, it feels very Star Warsy at points, because they use their rings like lasers quite a bit. Like, they do the constructs where someone will make, like, you know, a hand or a spatula or a gun or something. But quite often they just shoot light bolts at each other when they just kind of have to like have a stream of consciousness, like stop that guy, you know, like that kind of stuff. And that starts to feel pretty Star Warsy. But beyond that, like I said, it's on Netflix. I mean, it's totally worth checking out, because it's only like 2013. Like, it's a brand new show.
So is it continuing on or no?
I don't think so. I was tweeting about it, and someone said, hey, you know, let me know what you can do to bring the show back. So that sounds to me like, unfortunately, it got canned.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, which is too bad. They left it in a nice spot. Like, it's not like they leave you hanging.
Oh, that's good then.
But it's it still deserves, you know, another season. You never know. Maybe Netflix will pick it up. And distribute it, you know, because I'm sure that the viewership on it is good. It's one of those things. It's a superhero show that's very kid friendly, doesn't talk down to kids, but is very adult friendly too. Like, I mean, like if people were watching it with their kids, it would be not hard.
I love, you know, it when shows do that.
Yeah, no, it's really, really cool. Aya is my favorite character by far. She's got a really appealing design, but just her personality and some of the things that she say that are very, very funny, poignant things, which is funny because normally I like the heroes. Like, normally I'm I like Superman, and I like, you know, usually Green Lantern kind of shines, pun intended, as, you know, as like my favorite in whatever he's in. But yeah, it was really, really good. I think that kind of wraps up what we've been watching. I know it's a mouthful, but...
Well, that's what happens when you don't talk about it for 2 months.
It's been all summer. It's not hard to tell that I'm back on mic, people. I never shut up. Never, ever shut up. So have you had anything interesting on, you know, the hammock reading list this summer?
Trying to think of something that I did actually get to. I've had a lot of, I'm going to start reading. Like, there's a really good book that I want to get into, which is, it's called Tigana by... Okay. Guy Gabriel Kay. He's a guy, he's Canadian, and he did a really good, I think it's a trilogy as well as another good one called Fiona Barr Tapestry, but I haven't really gotten a chance to read it yet, but I'm excited to.
Yeah, I've actually been slowly picking at some of the things that I've picked up over the years, and I treated myself earlier this year and bought myself volume 4 of Beaumaries. This is Samantha Bohm, or Lerish Gonet. I'm probably not pronouncing her name correctly. That's why she goes by Bohm. I've interviewed her on Comics Coast to Coast. I've heard her interviewed on a couple of other shows. She does a charming, charming webcomic called Beaumaries that you can find at Beaumarie.com.
Nice.
I think it's, yeah, is it Beaumarie? Yeah, Beaumerie.com. And it is in both English and French, because she is French speaking from Montreal. So Canadian contingent, woohoo. But it's a unique kind of perspective, a very humorous perspective on her journey as an artist and a comic maker, as a pregnant artist and comic maker, and then later as a mom. And it is just laugh out loud funny. It's very raw. Like, she just kind of takes the funniest thing that happened to her that day, you know, or two or three of them, and ends up making them into comics. She's got 4 books out. They're dirt cheap at $10 a piece. They're lovely. If you're in Canada, shipping is cheap. Nice. So she's got a shop. I know for a fact that she has very few volume 1s left. She does a nice little sketch in all the books that she sells. So if you're interested and you want to collect them all, visit Beaumarie.com. For your copy. And she also has a Patreon, so if you find that you're following her day to day, stop by her Patreon page and help support her and help her make more comics. This is what she does. Her husband is a game designer in Montreal, and she's a full-time stay-at-home mom. So the comic is kind of her thing. So it's always very cool to see people doing doing stuff like this, especially on Patreon. And with four books, like, she's not stopping anytime soon. So I'm looking forward to book five. Boom. Keep it going.
Very cool.
Keep it going. That's it for reading for me. Something I stumbled upon, I wasn't going to mention this, but on the way home on the bus today, I listened to a new podcast, which is hard for me to do. You probably experience this too.
Yeah.
You know, you've got so many and you're like, oh God, which one do I have to listen to today? Or which one do I have to catch up on? And then you're thinking like, have to, I don't have to do any of this stuff.
Some of them might've been going by the wayside.
Yeah. Like I find that there's sometimes where I'm just listening to stuff because I feel like I need to catch up for whatever, like peer pressure or just like,
you don't want to guilt. Miss it, right?
Yeah. You know, or you like the show, but you're just like, I like the show, but I'm not in the mood for tech news, or I don't really want to listen to The Instance right now. I haven't played Warcraft in like a year.
Yeah. You know,
I still find it interesting, but like until Warlords come out, I'm not really on board.
Which I'm kind of excited for now.
Yeah. Oh, me too. But I have been in the mood for comedy.
Okay.
So I heard about this when one of the hosts, Jeff Cannata, was guesting on Daily Tech News Show with Tom Merritt. The show is called We Have Concerns. It's with Jeff Cannata and Anthony Carboni.
Carboni is quite hilarious.
Yes, this is my first encounter with Anthony. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it. They're short. They're like 20, 30 minutes, digestible, contemporary. They're smart with swearing. And I found quite funny because they're not about, like, I don't like shock humor. You know, they take something interesting in the news, like, you know, like Google Maps or privacy or something, and then they just make a big deal out of it and they take it to the extreme and then they bring it back and they interject their own kind of flavor and humor. I've always liked Jeff Cannata as a podcaster. I've seen him on a couple things.
Me too.
Yeah, but I just subscribed to this just to check it out. And I mean, it's three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and I'm on board. So if you go to wehaveconcerns.com, you can check out that. And you can also check out their Patreon. They're another fully funded show by Patreon, just like Tom Merritt's Daily Tech News Show. So it's super cool to see independent creators being able to do this kind of stuff and put quality stuff out there. Like me, they've got good podcasting mics. They've got, obviously they know one another. Like I feel like they might even be doing it either in the same room or at least in the same city. I've seen lots of pictures on their website of them together.
I think they're both in like California.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I know they're both in California. Whether or not, I mean, California is huge. Like, whether
no,
or not
I mean, I'm pretty sure they're both in like San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Molly in the chat room says she's listening to it right now too.
Oh, cool.
Nice. I'm not alone. Glad to know me and Molly have the same taste. I think.
Good taste. Yeah. I'm so happy. You're the one that told me about it because they've been on like a very weird hiatus. But Comic Dorks is back.
Yes.
I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, I enjoy that show too.
Yeah. That's been my like. I've been reinvigorated in watching that, and I'm like, it was just devouring it yesterday.
Yeah. Have you been reading more comics because of it, or are you just listening?
Listening and using it to like, well, they were the last one they were talking about. I think they were talking about Guardians and a few other things, but yeah, it kind of like makes me like, oh, I should check that out. Yeah, I'll go get that.
Mm. Yeah, I've got one that I think you'd like, and it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, the creator put it out as a PDF. It's called Ravine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a fantasy kind of dragons and monsters and stuff comic, and I think you'd really like it.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I could probably just send you the PDF.
That works too.
Cool. Well, let's see. That wraps up all that kind of stuff. I guess we can just finish off the show with some hot internet picks. But first, I have to let you know that, as before, the Citadel Cafe is proudly sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. There are 7 different styles and colors. Mic'd sets are available. They are compatible with iPods, iPhones, Android devices, and pretty much every MP3 player on the market. And they also come with a lifetime warranty. TweakedAudio.com is the place to go. The code is TCC at checkout. Well, I think I'm the only one with an internet pick this time. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Yeah. Slacker. Slacker.
I'm sorry.
You are making me look good. This is great.
I told you, that's what I'm here to do.
Exactly. My pick is a Gumroad page. And if you're not familiar with Gumroad, it is essentially a storefront that I know most artists are using, or some of the artists that I follow are using. There are other things that you could use it for, I'm sure. But it's essentially like a kind of like a video tutorial use that I find most of the artists that I'm following on DeviantArt are using when they so choose. The artist's name is Kalen Chock, K-A-L-E-N-C-H-O-C-K, and I'll have the link in the show notes here. And I have to confess that I haven't watched his tutorial yet, but I'm excited to finally get the time to do so, because he's put out a free one called Making Mistakes. So it's about an hour long, comes with the PSD file, high-res images, I believe the brushes that he used to paint the image as well, along with a video commentary of artists, of the artist talking about, you know, either what he's doing in painting, but also like kind of general, you know, artistic techniques or plights of the freelance artist, all that kind of stuff. I've listened to a few Gumroad videos. One of my favorite things about them tends to be just the higher quality. There's some great people on YouTube, but there's also some crap on YouTube, and it can be really frustrating kind of sorting through YouTube as to, you know, what tutorials you want to watch if you're trying to learn some stuff. The prices on Gumroad are nominal. I mean, it's some of them are free. At the most, individual videos are $5, maybe 10. But the $10 packages are often a few videos kind of packaged together, like, you know, an environment package where it's got like perspective and painting skies and mountains and, you know, color theory and stuff like that, all kind of rolled into one download package. So, I mean, where it would be, you know, $12 or $14 to download everything, you could download every, you know, the package for 10, save a little bit of money. I have yet to be let down. I've purchased at least three or four items from Gumroad over the last few months, as I've had more time over the summer to learn a few things. And, it's great. I really enjoy it so far. It's very art centric, I guess, recommendation. But I mean, I'm sure there are probably some music related or, insert your interest here, related stuff. I know one of the things that I like about them is that, some of the free videos offer a pay what you want. So the artist will say, and sometimes the artist says, no, just don't pay me. I really want this one to get out there for free. But I bought a PDF sketchbook from Will Terrell, who's an online artist friend of mine, and also someone that I've interviewed on Comics Coast to Coast. And he put out this beautiful 50-page sketchbook of brown paper sketches he did of people when he's out drawing just from life. And I can't remember what I tipped him, but like, you know, I gave him like between $3 and $5 because he was saying like, no, it's free or pay what you want. I'm just like, I am not taking this for nothing. Like it's 50 pages of like almost an entire year of this guy sketching out and about. So, I mean, I think it's a really neat way. Another alternative from say like Patreon or Kickstarter or, you know, a PayPal donation button where you can actually get something and then pay whatever you want because it, where it's all digital, whether it's a PDF or a video or maybe even a book, like if an author was doing short stories, it just keeps things very affordable, low overhead for the artists and low barrier to entry for quality stuff for the consumer. So it's at gumroad.com and Kalen Chock is the name of the artist that I'm recommending this time. I also going to give a quick knock on the door to Gumroad. They really need to improve their website design a little bit. It's kind of hard to navigate when you first get there if you don't know what you're looking for.
Be honest, I'm trying to figure it out right now.
Yeah, no, it's all of the things that I found on Gumroad, I have actually found on DeviantArt with a direct link from that artist to their store. So unless you know like the name of the person you're looking for, whether it's a videographer, a musician, or whatever, it's going to be pretty tough. And I've had a guy on from Gumroad, to their credit, had a guy from Gumroad reach out to me on Twitter and say, hey, if you have any questions, you know, like, you know, drop me a line. Well, I wrote him a novel yesterday morning and I haven't heard back yet. I was kind of hoping I might hear back before the show tonight. But so far, no dice. But if I hear anything or if they have changes in the works, I will certainly pass that along as the time goes by.
Cool.
Right on. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Citadel Cafe. First one back in a while. Feeling a little rusty at the helm, but not too shabby. As per always, we record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com/live. Our mobile audio stream is lovingly provided by alphageekradio.com. We are on channel 1. They have at least 3 channels of always streaming podcasts, many of them live. Go to alphageekradio.com and check out their schedule and find out what show you could be listening to live right now that you're missing out on. Music for the show is composed by Kevin MacLeod, and of course the episode will be available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com, where you can also find notes for the episode. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us by name on Twitter or Facebook. As I mentioned at the top of the show, my name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am up to online at joelduggan.com, including my Aya fan art for the Green Lantern. Please check out my Patreon page as well. That's at patreon.com/joelduggan. This is how I make my comic from the wonderful support of readers and listeners just like you. Starcrossed is at starcrossedonline.com, and you can read them all online and let me know what you think. You can also follow me on Twitter and Tumblr with just my name, Joel Duggan. Mike, where can people find you online?
You can still only find me on Twitter at Mike O'Dandy. Pretty much.
It's a dandy address.
It's a dandy one.
I think I would hold on to that if I were you.
Oh, yeah? I just keep it forever. It'd be worth something someday, just like that Superman drawing.
Nice. Or that Superman comic. Jeez.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
3 million or something?
Good God.
Nuts. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick 2. We have Molly in the chat room. All things are right with the world.